Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 73rd Venice Film Festival, and we, this year, were the official online radio station of the festival, and we're very pleased to be joined by Charles Siskel, who is the director of American Anarchist, seen here at the festival. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here, thank you.
So, your film talks about a very controversial book, the Anarchist Cookbook. But what kind of drew you to this subject in the first place? What was it that made you think that you could make a documentary about it?
The book is notorious. It is an infamous book that was written in the late 60s, early 70s. It very much reflects that time, a time when there was a lot of anger over the war in Vietnam and civil unrest in the United States. So it was written by a 19-year-old named William Powell, was channeling that anger and reflected a lot of that anger. And it is a bomb-making manual that's filled with rhetoric about the evils of a government that doesn't respond to its people and the responsibilities of citizens to fight when the government fails them. I saw a lot of parallels to today when there's a lot of angry rhetoric, both from the right and the left, about the government. When you've got Bernie Sanders talking about, a revolution, and there's, Trump rallies where there's violence breaking out, and the 1968 convention in Chicago is being compared to the Republican convention of this year. So I was drawn to some of those parallels, but mostly I was interested in the man who wrote the book. What did it feel like to write a book at 19 years old and have that book haunt you from the time that you wrote it throughout your life? Bill wrote the book when he was 19, and he in the film is 65 years old, looking back at his life and the price that he paid for writing the book. It was associated with violence in the 1970s. In the 1980s, it was associated with abortion clinic bombings. The book was influential in the 90s with the kids who shot up their high school and classmates at Columbine. And there's even been the suggestion that would-be ISIS recruits have been inspired or influenced in some ways by what's in the book. So I imagined that the person who wrote that book must feel tortured by it, must feel haunted.
He remained silent as well for a long time. So
he did. He did, and so I was interested in asking him for kind of to give a full account of his choices, his actions, and his inactions. He has spoken out about the book, and I wanted to know whether he felt that he had spoken out early enough, whether he had spoken out often enough, and in the right forum, whether he was comfortable with the fact that he had profited personally from the sales of the book, whether he was comfortable with the fact that he kept his name on the book and, gained a certain notoriety from the book. So I was interested in the perspective of a 65-year-old man who has had a long life and had children of his own, looking back on something that he had done as a very young person that has really plagued him, fairly or unfairly. Because I think we've all done things. I think we all do things when we're young, as Bill's wife says in the film. When you're young, that's the time to make mistakes.
That's right.
But few of us have those mistakes play out in such a public way and at such costs, not only to society but to ourselves.
Well, you mentioned that he must not have been comfortable with what he did when he was a 19-year-old male who wrote this book. What about when you approached him to make the documentary? Was he initially open to talking about it somewhere?
There was some reluctance on his part. He has not done a lot of interviews at all. Had never really, you know, certainly not a documentary, and hadn't sat down for that extensive an interview. So I think he was hesitant. But I was able to convince him that I would treat him fairly. And I think in part because I do empathize with him. I think it's fair to watch the film and come to the conclusion that there's not much more he could do today, and that maybe he did not behave nobly. He didn't always choose the moral or righteous course, but he chose a human path. And maybe there are a few of us who would have been more noble or moral if we were in his shoes. I think it's fair to say that he acted in an all too human way, and that we might not have acted differently. And so in asking him to do the film, I think he did feel that I would treat him fairly. It wasn't going to be I wasn't going to give an airbrushed version of his story. I told him I was going to include all of the flaws and ask the difficult questions, but he was ready to do that, to participate in that.
That was also the reason behind keeping your own questions in the actual audio track of the film.
Yeah, I wrestled in the edit of the film. I wrestled with how much of that to include. I don't appear on camera. I'm not really comfortable doing that. I didn't want to make myself part of the story. But obviously, Bill is a kind of a reluctant witness, in the process. And so he is being. It's not a confessional in the sense of asking, is there something that you want to say? And then we just roll the cameras. Bill had to be drawn out. There's an element of, having to prod him and ask him difficult questions. And so for the viewer to understand how Bill is coming, it goes through the process of being initially very reluctant, as he is in the film, to eventually, I think, offering up some kind of confession or some kind of atonement for his past. You want to understand how he got there. He didn't get there on his own. It came in part through my visiting him and asking him some of those tough questions. So we had to include that.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And actually, it's a great part of the documentary, just following his journey through it and like how he changes during the making of the film, in a way, his mindset a little bit. Unfortunately, like, we're near to the end of the interview, but I do want to make a final observation. It reminded me of a William Burroughs kind of way of thinking that, like, writing is dangerous. Nowadays, people kind of write stuff on Facebook that, and it's mentioned throughout the film, during the film at some point, that like things stay there forever, but they're like written very easily, just like within seconds, they're published, and they could be there forever. They could be dangerous. So does that relate to the American book, the Anarchist Cookbook, in a way too?
Absolutely. I mean, two things. One. It's very easy to write angry and, sort of radical and confrontational things anonymously online, to troll, as people say, and to do that anonymously. So you have that kind of angry, incendiary rhetoric that is very much a part of the internet culture. In Bill's case, it's not anonymous, and so you also have the phenomenon of people writing things that they then eventually regret, where their name is attached to it. And there's a lot of, people who write or publish things on the internet that they grow to regret. John Ronson has this fantastic book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed, that's all about stories of people putting, pictures of themselves that they, are later embarrassed by, that come to, they are used against them, can't get a job, or they get fired for their job for saying something or posting a comment or tweeting something stupid. And so writing can, yes, certainly be dangerous in both of those contexts. Bill was kind of an early test case of that. It was pre-internet. He published it. It was before the days of the internet. But I don't think it's entirely surprising that the book had its second life in the advent of the internet and has kind of, you know, had these many iterations where people have added on to it. And it's kind of a, like become a public domain, crowdsourced kind of form of angry rhetoric. But yeah, I think I agree with you that the Burroughs
knew it all.
Yeah.
Yes, it all comes back to Burroughs.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.